Support for Science Friday comes from Northeastern University, where researchers are creating innovative science, technology, and policy solutions to make coastal cities sustainable. Learn how Northeastern is making tomorrow happen at northeastern.edu/tomorrow.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Inertia is a property.
Remember that theme song? Yeah, Bill. There's a whole group of us who grew up and learned how to pull a pulley, how it worked, or how the water cycle happened with the science guy. Maybe you're one of them. Today, Bill Nye is the Sci-Fry science guy. He's also the CEO of the Planetary Society, and he's here to sit in as co-host with me this hour. So I want to present to America, to all of you, America's engineer, Bill Nye. Welcome to Science Friday, Bill.
It's a dream, Ira.
You
it's
have
a dream.
You did start out as an engineer, right?
Yes, I have a license, people. Yes.
Let's talk. How did you get started in your career? Let's do a little This Is Your Life, Bill Nye.
Well, if you're driving, I strongly encourage you to remain alert. Don't doze off during this part. But when I was in college, the guy who had been my freshman roommate, Dave Lax, Dave, hi, if you're out there, I went into mechanical engineering, he went into material science, and he came hurrying to my house where I was living. We lived behind each other at that point, and he said, you got to see this, look at this, and it was Steve Martin at the boarding house, which is a nightclub still to this day in San Francisco, and he says, look, this guy's just like you. Look at this.
So looks then, just like Steve Martin.
Then a year later, I was working at Boeing. Don't worry, everybody. Very well supervised. I was working at Boeing, and a new set, completely different set of friends had the same impression. And I entered the Steve Martin lookalike contest, which was sponsored by Warner Brothers Record, and I won in Seattle. I did not advance beyond that. And then I started doing stand-up comedy. Then I met all these guys at open mic nights, you can imagine, comedy clubs.
Right.
One of whom was Ross Schaefer, and he had a radio show in Seattle, as well as having won the stand-up comedy competition. And one day, this and that, and the answer had to do with Back to the Future movie, the first one.
Right.
The answer was so many gigawatts. And I called him. I said, Ross, you can say gigawatt, but we kind of prefer gigawatts. It's okay. And then one thing led to another, and, you know, what are you, Bill Nye the Science Guy? And so every day at 4:35, I would answer a listener question in some hilarious science comedy way.
On the radio.
On the radio. Started out on the radio, the world's our most visual medium, Ira. And then I eventually got called upon to do a bit on the television show, which was hosted by Ross Schaefer, the same guy, the same thing. And because Rita Jenrette had canceled. You probably remember Rita Jenrette. Do you remember her?
I'm trying to.
She canceled.
She was canceled.
She had written a book.
Right.
Depicting, I guess, in some detail, about having had sexual relations on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. Mm-hmm. But the strange thing about that story, by the way, the guy she was having sex with was her husband. I know.
That's how crazy it is. It's nutty.
Yeah. And so she canceled, and so I did the household uses of liquid nitrogen, and since we all have that around. And it was funny.
So when did you get your signature bow tie? How did you decide
that? That sort of started junior in high school at the girls' athletic banquet. This is where the girls get their trophies, their medals for gymnastics, lacrosse, field hockey, so on. And so I said to my colleagues, if we're going to be – so the boys are the waiters at the girls' athletic banquet. If we're going to be waiters, let's dress like waiters. And my father was very good with knots, tying knots, and he showed me how to tie a bow tie. And after you wear one and you're carrying a tray full of dangerous liquids like Diet Coke or something, you find it doesn't flip into the flask, doesn't slip into the soup.
That's it. Our number is 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK. You can tweet us at SciFry if you're on Twitter. Tweet us at SciFry and use the hashtag SciFryScienceGuy. Hashtag SciFryScienceGuy.
Oh, yes. And the fry has an F-R-I, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's
okay, this is not, you know, that's not eggs.
That's right. And you have your bow tie untied today because I've asked you to demonstrate. We have our cameras going.
I know. We're
broadcasting. How does Bill Nye tie his bow tie? So
well, with my hands.
I need a rim shot. I actually have it on my cell phone, but it's off.
So now, for those of you who are for some reason not watching the webcast, I've buttoned my top button. You make an overhand knot. Am I permitted the overhand?
No, go right. Yeah, whichever you'd like to do.
Then you make a loop. And then for me, the second one comes down from the top, and you have to preserve this opening.
Right.
Back on mic. You have to preserve this opening.
Right.
With a finger or a thumb, and then you poke this through. It's the same knot as on your shoe. And then whether you are tying a tie or if you're at sea wrangling some halyards, you have to dress the knot. So I'm pulling the knot tight in symmetric yet a little bit of a fold, a few folds to display, as we say, the full body of the tie. So
there it is.
It's the same knot as on your shoe. You got to tie. I strongly recommend you tie a square bow akin to a square knot or a reef knot rather than a granny bow, which will come untied. And mm-hmm. I can't think of the calamity, the tragedy that could ensue from such a fundamental. It just shows you, it's the importance of the design at the beginning.
You know, I was watching the video of you with the Speed Walker. Was that
Speed Walker?
Speed
yes.
Walker.
Greetings, citizen. Yeah, Speed Walker only talked to citizen, officer, and punk. Those are pretty much the only people he interacted with. He is a superhero.
He's a superhero.
Who did not
fly. With the whole costume and everything.
Yeah, he did not fly to the crime. He would race walk. Joe Guppy wrote that, an old friend of mine.
When did you decide you could combine this love of science and show business together and make it successful?
I think a better question is, how could you not? So I was a young guy at this point in our story, so I was volunteering at the Pacific Science Center in Seattle, and you can imagine what that is. It's a science mm-hmm. center, hands-on, kids come,
Been
school
there?
Buses full of
yeah.
things. I would wear the blue vest as a science explainer. As a mechanical engineer, everybody, you take a lot of physics. You take a lot of physics and a lot of basic chemistry. You take life science, biology. So I would pour liquid nitrogen. I'd pull to lift the truck with one hand on the giant pulley system and so on. And I realized that if you're funny, people pay more attention to you. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start now, Bill?
Yeah. So then you came up with the idea for the TV show? Or
well, I'll tell you. What is everybody doing the last 34 days? Running around trying to find this black box.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a tragic thing with the families and everything. But I worked at Sunstrand Data Control, which is now Honeywell, literally across the highway from Microsoft's big campus, before it existed, people. Mm. And these guys I worked for were obsessed with making money every quarter, every 3 months. And you can do that if you're making a developed product like thermal switches for space shuttles or accelerometers for autopilots and certain oil well applications. But if you're trying to design a new navigation system from scratch, you can't do it in 3 months. And I grew up with the Ford Pinto and the Chevy Vega and leisure suits. This was a nadir of
right.
U.S. engineering, and I wanted to influence young people. I made a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. But it takes years. If you got the idea for it, it takes years.
And you're obviously not done.
No. We're still trying to change the world.
And where did you come up with that phrase? Did that just pop up?
It just popped. I don't know. We need to change the world.
Right.
So we need to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
The key to the future is not doing less, doing more with less. And in this room right here, we have light-emitting diode lights instead of mm-hmm. good old incandescents.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we face a great challenge in changing the world? I mean,
oh, no, everything's fine, Ira. Oh, yeah, it's going to be, what are you talking about? It's all taken care of. Climate change, it's nothing. It's nothing. And 7 billion people where there used to be sort of 1.5, that's mm-hmm. nothing to worry about. Everything's
nothing.
Cool. No, we've got to change the world.
Well, you're doing your bit. You were part of a very famous debate with creationists.
Oh, gosh, with yes, those guys. So
how did that turn? Without getting into the details, how do you think the results turned out?
Well,
that debate?
Let me say for me, for my base, as we say in politics, has been extraordinary. I mean, millions of people who watch that thing that would normally have never have any awareness of that culture in our otherwise technically sophisticated society. These are people that deny science, that want nothing to do with with how we make discoveries and our place in the cosmos, our place in space, as we say. Mm-hmm. And that guy, Ken Ham, would say that, oh, yes, I believe in science. No, he doesn't. I mean, he says, well, we have scientists here. I said, they're not very good ones. I mean, they're, you know, so this, but.
Did you change anybody's mind? Who
no, I don't think. I think what I did is raise awareness, because you don't want, we cannot raise a generation of science students that is scientifically illiterate and expect to stay in the game economically. The U.S. will fall behind if we raise a generation of people who don't believe in the fundamental idea of all of life science, which in this case would be evolution. We're going to talk about bacteriophages later on.
Right after the break. We have,
And bacteriophages and bacteria are all a result of, so are you and I, a result of evolution. You got to understand the process if you're going to fight these life-ending bacteria.
But people will criticize you for even going into the debate.
Understandably. And I will say to all of you who criticized me, as I say to many of the people who write me letters and emails, you may be right. You may be right. Maybe it was a mistake. But we'll see. See in a couple years if that organization, Answers in Genesis, is still in business. Or do people, taxpayers and voters in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, pay attention and not...
I have to say, though, but you were very polite and self-controlled. I could see you wanted to jump out of your skin a few times.
Well, sure. I mean, the guy said such extraordinary things. And the I mean, the whole thing boiled down to an excellent question from the audience. What would change your mind, Mr. Ham? And he said nothing. Nothing would change his mind. Whereas to us in science... Can't wait to change our minds. You got new evidence? Bring it on. Let's go. Let's rearrange. Pluto's not a planet? Fine. It's something else. Cool. Great. World's climate isn't. The world's cooling off. No, wait. It's getting hot.
All right, Bill. Bill's just getting started. He's going to be with us for the rest of the hour. Bill Nye, the science guy, America's engineer. He really is. We're gonna get that to stick. He's going to stay with us for the rest of the hour. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away.